Hello, my name is Daniel Moth. This screencast recording is one part of a four-part screencast series that accompanies the MSDN Magazine article that I wrote introducing C++ AMP. I hope you like it. The API that instructs the C++ AMP runtime to take a function and execute it on the accelerator is a new overload to the existing global parallel for each function from the concurrency namespace. It accepts two arguments, an extent object and a lambda. Now, when you were not looking, I added here a function that we can use as a playground, if you like. So this is not going to be called at runtime. It will not execute there. So we can make this a bit more concrete. So here is the parallel for each method that I mentioned. And here is the extent that you pass as the one argument and the lambda that you pass as the second. So the extent object you're already familiar with. And that is used to determine how many times the lambda will be called on the accelerator. And you should assume that each time it will be a separate thread calling your code, potentially concurrently, without any order guarantees. For example, an extent of two-dimensional, like I have here, with three rows, two columns, that really just means 2 times 3, 6. It means that this lambda, this code, is going to be called 6 times when you invoke the parallel for each. If I had here a single-dimensional extent, and I just said E6, again, it would be 6 times that the lambda would be called. Now, when you look at this this lambda, you can see that it must accept an index object. And you're already familiar with the index object. It must have the same rank as the extent object that you pass to the parallel for each. And the index value will be different each time that your lambda is called. And that's how you distinguish between two different invocations of your lambda. So you could think of the index value as the thread ID. Now, in real code, you'll be passing much larger extents. You'll be scheduling essentially thousands, many thousands of threads. But here I just keep the example simple so you can follow through. So I don't have any code written in the lambda, just comments that you can read. So regardless, if I was to build this project right now, we would see a compilation error because there is something missing here. And what's missing is that as the code is written at this moment in time, there is nothing stopping you from using in the lambda body anything that the full C++ language allows. But because we want to execute this in an accelerator such as the GPU, you're restricted from using certain aspects of the C++ language which are not available on current GPU architectures. So that is why you must indicate which parts of your code, your overall C++ code, should comply with these restrictions, and that means you'll find out at compile time if you're breaking any rules. Now, this indication that I'm talking about must be made on the lambda and on any other function signatures that you call from the lambda. So the way that we have to modify this code is like this. So now that we know how to schedule threads and offload the computation to an accelerator like the GPU, let's go up here and let's change this code. So I'm going to do a copy-paste to take a copy of it, and then we'll just go make the modifications. Okay, so what do we have so far? So we get the extent, so we know that's how many threads I'm going to want to launch. So each thread can make an addition of a single element from array from the array view A, and then a single element from array view B and store it in C. So I haven't written that piece of code yet. And the reason I haven't written that piece of code yet is because, okay, I found the extent that I want to use. Then the rest of the signature was automatic. It's just what I know. But notice how in the signature, there is no way to pass data in. Instead, the way you pass data to the code that will execute on the accelerator is by capturing that data in the lambda. However, one of the strict AMP restrictions for lambdas is that they can't capture variables by reference. You know, there are a couple of exceptions to that, but for now, let's just say you can only capture by value, which is what I've indicated here. However, you also cannot capture pointers. So if you cannot capture pointers, and you think about these restrictions, when you look at this code, you should be wondering, you know, if I can't do that, then how will I observe, you know, the desirable side effects? In other words, the results of the computation. Because any changes you would make to the variables, if you capture them by value, then they're not going to be available after the parallel for each completes. And the answer to that question is the type that you already know, ArrayView. So ArrayView, despite, in addition to being a nice multidimensional type, it's also one that's allowed to be captured by value in the lambda that you pass to the parallel for each. And this is your mechanism for passing data in and out of that lambda, so to and from the accelerator as required. So then you simply need to use ArrayView objects to wrap the real containers, and then you capture the ArrayView objects in the lambda for accessing and populating them as required. And then you can access those ArrayViews again after the parallel for each, and then you'll have the data available to you on demand. So let's go and do that. And it's as simple as that. So that's why we've already wrapped the data with the ArrayView, and I can go and capture them over here. So what will happen here if we're to run this code? Well, what you do is you'd get the data as soon as you access it here in the Lambda. That's going to be copied automatically for you to your discrete GPU that has its own memory. So the data will be copied there for you. Then the operation will take place really, really, really fast. And then after that, the destructor here of the ArrayView would be called, and that's what synchronizes the data back to the original container. So in this case, C is what we care about, so VC will get its data when the destructor of the ArrayView gets called. If you wanted to access the data directly through the ArrayView, of course you can. So you could go and access an element like this, and then that would be accessed, and at that point it would also be synchronized to the original container. If you wanted to access it here through actually the original container, then without accessing the ArrayView itself, so you don't want to rely on destruction, what you would want to do is, and this is the classic pattern, you'd call synchronize. And this is the best thing to do, even if the code was exactly as I wrote it here, because this gives you a chance to observe any exceptions that might occur at this point. So this is a typical pattern. Another thing that's a typical pattern is indicating which data that you want to copy just to the accelerator and which data you will need to copy back. Because when you're working with discrete accelerators, which most of today's accelerators are, that's something that's hopefully going to change in the future, and C++AMP is designed well for that. But for now, you have to really think, what data am I copying? Because you're copying that data through the PCIe bus, and that can be very expensive. So here, for example, I know that I only need to copy this data for VNVB2, but I don't need to copy it back. I don't need to copy it from there. And I can go and indicate that by just saying const, and notice where I'm putting the const. It's on the type in the template argument, not ahead of the ArrayView. And by doing that, I'm indicating to the system that, hey, I'm not going to need to copy this data back after this kernel, as we call it, this kernel function is executed. So that's a nice optimization thing you can do there. The other optimization thing related is for C, you don't need to copy that data to the kernel. You're only going to write to it. So what you can do here is you can say, look, if there's any data here, just discard it. And again, that's a hint to the runtime that this data does not need to be copied in. And you typically put that as close to the parallel for each as you can, again, by convention. And if I was to run this, we'd find that it has exactly the same results as the CPU does, the CPU version that we had earlier. And what you'd like is for this to be a lot faster, because now you're executing on the GPU, right? Well, it turns out that this particular algorithm that I chose is not expensive enough. It's fast enough on the CPU, in other words. So when you execute it on the GPU, the fact that you're copying that data in and you're copying that data out negates any performance benefits of this particular piece of code executing much faster. So this, even though it's a data parallel algorithm, and even though you could have a lot of data, it's still not a great example for offloading to the GPU. I chose this example because it's a very nice and simple one to explain all the concepts of C++ AMP, the multidimensional API, and the way that you go and schedule code to execute on the GPU. If you want to see examples of algorithms that can benefit from GPU acceleration, then I'd encourage you to go to our blog, so you can see the address up here, and click on the right, where it says C++ amp samples, and that'll give you a list of all the samples that we have, and we keep adding there. And the one that, you know, is the first time that a guy is to go and look is the matrix multiplication. With that, you can get 40 to 80 times, depending on how you code it, speed up over the CPU, including all the copy costs. So they get amortized due to the algorithm itself being expensive enough. And you know, while you're there, you might as well just click on check out the other links that we have on our blog. So with that, I hope that this exploration of the simple algorithm, even though it doesn't benefit from speedups, actually helped introduce you all the main elements of C++ AMP. Thank you very much for watching. Please ensure that you have watched all four parts in the screencast series to get the full benefit. If you have questions, feel free to contact me so I can point you to our MSDN forum named Parallel Computing in C++ and Native Code. Thanks.